Ethics for Behavior Analysts, 4th edition. Written by John S. Bailey and Mary R. Birch. Narrated by Peter Coates. Copyrighted by Taylor & Francis. This audiobook was recorded by arrangement with Routledge, an imprint of the Taylor & Francis Group, an Informa business, and was produced in the year 2023 by Echo Point Books and Media, LLC, which holds the copyright thereto. Preface to the 3rd edition. My first experience in ethics came when I was a graduate student in psychology in the late 1960s. I was working with a profoundly developmentally disabled young man who was confined to a heavy metal crib in the small ward of a private institution in Phoenix, Arizona. Blind, deaf, non-ambulatory, and not toilet-trained, my subject engaged in self-injurious behavior virtually all day long. His head-banging behavior against the metal bars could be heard 25 yards away, and greeted me each time I entered his depressing, malodorous living unit. Day after day, I sat by his crib taking notes on a possible thesis concerning how one might try to reduce his chronic self-injurious behavior, or SIB. We called it self-destructive behavior in those days. After a few informal observation sessions and reading through his medical chart, I had some ideas. I set up a meeting with one of my committee members, Dr. Lee Myerson, who was supervising the research at the facility. "I'm observing a subject who engages in self-destructive behavior," I began. "He hits his head 10 to 15 times per minute throughout the day. I've taken informal data at different times of the day, and I don't see any consistent pattern," I offered. Dr. Myerson let me go on for about 10 minutes, nodding and occasionally taking a puff on his pipe. Smoking was allowed everywhere in those days. Then he stopped me abruptly and, gesturing with his pipe, began to ask me questions that I had never thought about. Did I know my subject's name? Did I have permission to observe and report on this individual? Who gave me permission to look at this medical record? Had I discussed this case with any of my graduate student colleagues or shown the data in class? I had no good answers to any of Dr. Myerson's questions. I wasn't thinking of my subject as a person, only as a source of data for my thesis. It never dawned on me that Billy had rights to privacy and confidentiality, and that he needed to be treated with dignity and respect, not as just another subject to help me complete a degree requirement. As it turns out, Dr. Myerson was ahead of his time in grilling me with ethical questions that would not be addressed in legal circles for another 10 years. See Chapter 1. Dr. Myerson's questions.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?